Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Harry's. Go to harrys.com/filthycasuals for a free trial set.
This week we're also brought to you by ShipStation. You can try ShipStation free for 30 days, plus get a special bonus when you use the promotion code CASUALS at ShipStation.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three extremely kind and very knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. We also have...
Ben Vanell here again. It's episode 120 and I'm sipping on a venti.
Oh, God.
What's a venti?
It's the size of Starbucks cup.
Ah,
would you say that? Like, I'm drinking a large.
It's almost like nothing rhymes with 20.
Is that that British slang?
If only the number of rhymes with 20 were plentiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That British slang, like, oh, I'm having it large. Is that what they mean? Like, I'm having a large beverage?
Yeah, I think
I'm having, like, a large one. Speaking of large ones, my name's Adam Knox. Yeah.
You're the token Brit. You answer this one for us.
Sure. Mm. Yeah, token Brit, because we need to be represented in every...
exactly.
I'm not sure. I also like Oasis, and I'm not specifically sure what Avon at Large means in terms, like, the, I don't know of the etymology of Avon at Large, but I do know the ethos behind it.
What has liking Oasis got to do with that?
Because they're always Avon at Large.
Does that phrase begin with them?
They are in the pantheon of people who've had it large early on.
See, right. I reckon I learnt it from the film Kevin and Perry Go Large.
Right.
A great comedy film that I'm sure holds up today by today's strict standards.
I've never seen Kevin and Perry Go Large.
So
what was that one guy's name?
Harry Enfield.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Harry Enfield, it was a character that he played on his sketch show that they turned into a movie.
Yeah.
And it's stupid.
Yes. It was like British Harold and Kumar go to kind of?
Kinda, yeah. Right. They're two horny teenagers who convince their parents to take them on a holiday to Ibiza.
That's right.
Just so they can try and shag and meet their favourite DJ.
Surely the British Harold and Kumar was the Kumars at number 42, because both have Kumar in the name.
Well... Did they go? They went to White Castle as well. So I really fucked up there.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. In terms of two idiots going on a journey, that's what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, Ben doesn't see race like you, Adam. So hung up on the colour.
I don't see race. I see two words that are the same.
What do we got today? I'll answer this one. Not much.
Yeah. What other British comedy movies can you rip on?
We always think we're doing such a good job of covering up, but you just know anyone who's listening is like, oh, yeah, they're talking about a film from 15 years ago. I reckon it's going to be one of those weeks on the show.
They are having it very slight, very small having amount this week.
Well, a little bit of news this week to get to. First of all, Red Dead Redemption 2. It's been dated.
Yeah.
October 28th.
Someone took it out, gave it a nice bundle of roses. What do you call them? A bunch?
Yeah.
And,
a bouquet.
Took them to a Western, I guess. Western film.
Yeah.
And
what was the last Western movie?
Mr. Dead.
Howard and Kumar?
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. Oh, yeah, of course.
Or no, probably that Adam Sandler one that he did for Netflix.
Oh, Ridiculous Six.
The Silly Seven.
No, that must have come out after Hateful Eight. Yeah, I guess so. Or else why would he have called it the Ridiculous Six?
Oh, because the Magnificent Seven exists.
What's that?
It came out in the 50s, I think.
October 28th.
Yeah.
I think so.
And people... So, I must have missed something, but people are going like, oh, it's delayed. Oh, big surprise. I didn't know it was dated.
No.
It never got dated.
Yeah.
They originally said like spring 2017 or something.
Right. So it would have been like March or something.
Yeah. When they did that thing of just like the Twitter picture. announcing it was like spring 2017. So it was like definitely
6 months later. And they just said, like, we want to make it more polished and better. Yeah. Sorry. Well,
then they said April of this year.
Say what?
And then they said, hey, now. But, like, Rockstar do this with every game every time they ever bring one out.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just been 5 years since the last one, so nobody remembers.
And do you reckon this is it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Once they give it an actual, here's the exact date, because spring 2017, that's like going, oh, yeah, maybe attending.
Yeah.
You know, that's not. Yes.
Which, as we all know, that means no.
That means no.
That means no.
And also, attending, reduce that by 60%, and that's the number of people who are showing up to any given event.
Yes. Yeah. Not attending, though. Oh, that's concrete.
Yeah.
Man. You can always rely on that number.
That almost means don't invite me to any future events.
I am so jealous of the people who have the goddamn gumption to get out there and say not attending, like, straight away.
Oh, really? I'm one of those people,
yeah,
brother.
Me too.
I'll tell
me
you
too.
Right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Nothing makes me happier than a notification. Oh, goody. Something I can knock back.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But so that'll come out. It's either the 26th or the 28th. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But
right.
The other thing that was with it as well, or that happened this week with Red Dead, is there was this leak that happened. Because when they said, here's the date, they gave a few screenshots, and there was this thing like a few weeks or months ago, someone going, hey, I have this information, but I've only got it from one place, so I'm not going to say it's definite, but this is the rumor that I've heard.
Right.
And in that description of all this other stuff was descriptions of these screenshots that they released.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like, there'll be this media package of, to be fair, the screenshots, and I'm sure the descriptions are like, man on horse.
So forest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no way they could have predicted.
Have a crack, giant robot. Just back yourself. Just if you're going to make it up, just have a go.
There was one in the Wild Wild West movie, so, you
exactly.
know, it's not crazy.
Holy shit. Will Smith raps in the middle instead of like the sweet Mexico song. Wiggity, wiggity.
Drew Hill sings the chorus.
And then the other stuff with it, it was mainly about multiplayer stuff, from what I remember of it. But it was like, it's going to have a battle royale mode, so a PUBG style.
And you're saying because the screenshots matched up, it kind of corroborates the other stuff.
Yeah, and it's definitely still a rumor, so I didn't bother committing any of it to memory or looking up the article.
Yeah.
But it's
everything in your life a rumor? Because you commit to almost nothing.
That's how you treat the OJ case.
Look, people.
That's how you treat the times we meet up to do the podcast.
People always spreading rumors, people always talking lies. People, I'm trying to remember the lyrics to that Lindsay Lohan song.
This family, this family member's funeral. It's just a rumor. I didn't bother to commit the start time to memory.
Maybe attending.
That's brutal. Not the maybe attending. The funeral Facebook event invite. That must be a thing that happens, though, right? In this day and age, that must be a thing people do.
It's generally, not to go too far down this path, but people generally just post it as a status.
Yeah.
Say it's happening at this time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to, you can't click not attend if you've been invited.
And then, if you're the one setting it up, you've got to pick the cover image of that event invite.
When I die, within the next 5 years probably, make sure that one of you creates a Facebook event and invite everybody.
Yeah.
I'll do that thing where you change your city so it's easy to invite people.
I want to have the Corey Worthington funeral.
Noxie's funeral. We have to get it shut down because it's a safety risk.
Okay, but what cover image? I thought you had a good cover image in mind.
Oh, fuck it, man. My corpse. Fuck it.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Fuck your corpse.
That's a
and
good way.
And then decide on a cover image.
That's a good way of weeding out the non-believers. You know what I mean? If you're not okay with seeing an image of it on the Facebook event invite, stay away.
Yes.
I would just do the classic I have a wedding that day. Sorry. That's what everyone's using is to get out of things now. But so
I will say I hate inviting people to something, and especially if it's a thing where it's like, hey, who wants to go for a beer? And then you get the flood of people giving you their fucking life story with why they can't come.
You know
what I mean? If it's something that you're very non-committal about to begin with.
I've got work. I'm working till 9 and I might be able to show up at 10, but have a good night. Might see you there.
Yeah.
Just come or don't. Shut the fuck up.
No one gives a fuck.
I wonder why people don't come to your guys' things. Just either come or don't. Fuck you. I don't even want you there, you son of a bitch.
This is you may as well start every RSVP message with the great man here. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
I may be blessing you all with my presence.
Yes. That could Great also be out. The reason they're not showing up, because it says RSRS RSVP. Yeah, the people go, what does that mean?
Yeah, email the great man.
Email the great man at hotmail.com.
Oh, I thought I'd gotten away with that one too. Like, no, maybe that was just me imagining that I said those four letters about 18 times each.
Yeah, Battle Royale mode, probably yes. The whole big map. I think that could be fucking awesome in a Red Dead game.
Yeah, I mean, if they commit to it like they did GTA Online, I'd be so much more interested in playing Red Dead Online.
Yeah, basically. I might be. I'd have said I was going to be interested in the GTA Online that was in, and I haven't been. And they have apparently put in a Battle Royale mode into that now.
Right.
Which but I haven't bothered to play.
Knowing like what the GTA thing turned into, I would make the effort with Red Dead to get into the online component early days.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's too hard to go in on now.
Yep.
But that makes sense. I would be more surprised if that didn't turn out to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that GTA Online has kept that game relevant for, like 4 years now since it came out?
It sold something like a huge number of million, and it sold like 15 million more this year.
It's more than 4 years. It didn't come out. It came out on the PS3.
Late 2013.
People still play it and talk about it, and they're still releasing stuff. They're still making money off it. So clearly they're now going to go, that's just the way we make games. And hopefully that's not at the expense of what's going on with the single player component.
Yeah.
Who knows? If anything, it is surprising that there is a single player component to Red Dead 2.
Yeah, I would imagine that because of their roots and because of how good the games have been, they'd take pride in going like, look, here's another best single player experience in the market. And the best multiplayer. Like, I can see that happening.
That would be great. The other things in the leak were like the fast shoot vision thing, whatever that was called.
Deadshot?
Deadshot. Yeah. Deadeye?
Something like
just
that?
Just mind shooting a gun.
The pew-pew,
Deadpool vision is back.
Hell yeah. Your character's constantly looking out at the screen, reminding you that
they
you're
keep
playing
climbing out, going, I know I'm not a cowboy. And there was some other stuff as well that I don't really remember, but it all sounded cool. So look that up if you want to know the rumor, but it may be true. It may be untrue. Well, let's not pretend that everyone listening to this doesn't have immediate access to the internet.
Yeah, sure. But then one could argue, why are we doing this show in the first place?
One could argue.
One would have a very solid argument. Yes. In fact, I wouldn't want to be on the opposite side of that argument. So other news, Nintendo snuck out a couple little tidbits during the week.
Yes.
Where did this get announced? They just rolled out these like two little pieces of news that are kind of significant, but had no real information attached
just
to them.
Just on socials, I think.
I think it was just on Twitter,
So there's a Mario Kart mobile app coming out in the
future.
They said something like the second fiscal quarter of 2009. They used some very weird time frame.
I think it meant like before March 2019.
Right.
Yeah,
Is what the thing they said. So, Mario Kart Tour.
Mario Kart Tour. So ages away. No video, no screenshot, no nothing.
I'm really interested to find out how that controls.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's auto accelerate and tilting the phone.
Tilting. I hope it's not tilting.
That's what I would assume.
I imagine virtual joysticks on both sides of the phone, hold it horizontally, maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having just left half of screen and right half of screen turn auto accelerate like that. Or it'll be auto accelerate and every turn you just have to hit at the right time. So one button Mario Run.
And then use items in the middle or something.
Oh, right, items.
Yeah.
Items. Maybe you shake the phone for an item, I don't know.
I could see it all being automatic and items is the thing that you're most in control of.
Right.
Like maybe there's more of a focus. Maybe it's like less randomized items. And I just think that like with Mario Run, I know they're very big on like not trying to just replicate what it is on the console.
Yeah.
So the idea of it being, you know, you're steering with your thumb on the left side of the screen and you're accelerating, it won't be a virtual controller.
No.
It'll be something that inherent in the use of the phone.
Nintendo tried that like virtual thumbstick bullshit with Mario 64 and the DS.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like 14 Terrible. Years ago or something. Right. And it was really, really bad. And it's been bad in every mobile game that's tried to use it as well. Because it drifts. You can't figure out where you are. It's impossible.
There's no center. Yeah.
But items, I guess, could just be a box in the corner and you tap the box.
Yeah.
And then tap anywhere else on the screen to go into your slide or something.
Yeah.
Maybe you tap to go in and hold it and then come out
it's
or something like that.
It's really weird to like judge skill, because it's like if you are racing against friends and stuff and you're not actually controlling movement and turning and stuff, then is it just a random box pressing game?
But like, if it's like timing based, almost like a rhythm game more than a racing game, in terms of like here comes the corner, I got to hit it at this point in the turn.
Yeah.
That could be different, but cool. It needs to be different, probably, right?
Yeah,
yeah. It needs to be. It needs to still have challenge in it, but be a different thing to what we're used to. I mean, maybe it's wrong to even assume that it'll be the kind of viewpoint that we're used to seeing on Mario Kart games. Maybe it'll be like an isometric top down. I know there are some racing games on mobile where you're using your finger to kind of preemptively chart a course around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And it sort of is following in line with that. I could see it being more of like a single...
So like you're drawing your racing line
out. Yeah, I could see it maybe being something like that, which then turns it into a completely different thing.
Yes.
Because I think if it's tilt and it's behind the car... And it's too easily comparable
Fucking Nintendo. Like, Nintendo have done that when they've had their own consoles.
Yeah.
Like, it could definitely be tilt.
If it's too readily comparable to a console Mario Kart with just some elements changed or missing, I think it's going to suck. But if it's its own, if it's trying to be its own thing, I think it could be really fun.
But it also has the potential to just flat out not work then.
They don't really, and they don't have a great track record of apps so far.
No,
especially with, I really hope that the online multiplayer stuff is good.
Yeah.
Or there at all. Because in Mario Kart 8, it's really fun. It's good. Yeah. You get in really quickly. And matching with friends is a little harder just because the way all the Nintendo stuff works.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But if they have that built into it as well, whatever the game ends up being, that will elevate it a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things I'm not particularly excited about it. I can totally see why they're doing it because it's a brand that everyone knows and it will presumably sell a lot if they price it right and everything.
Well, that's the other thing. Will it be just buy to play or will it be, hey, give us $3 to get Link, give us $3 to get Luigi?
Yeah. Or hell, before the next race, give us $3 to start with six red shells or something.
Yeah. I thought Mario Run had a pretty fair pricing model, but it got a lot of shit and then it didn't sell anything like what they thought it was going to. So who knows what that means.
And then Pocket Camp was all fucking stuffed full of microtransactions.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yes.
So I don't know how that's done for
it. It was wait 7 hours or give us a buck. Mm. Yeah.
What was Fire Emblem? I never played that.
Did
that come out yet?
Yeah,
We played it for this and then I've forgotten everything about it immediately.
So that was like grid-based, turn-based combat, isometric view, with a team of characters and you could buy loot boxes to unlock random characters.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is bad.
Even their apps at their best, even the ones I've enjoyed for a week and then sort of not ever thought about again. And for me, like, Mario Kart is one of my favorite franchises in gaming.
Yeah.
I, you know, am hanging out for whatever the next console one is, but this, I just couldn't really, care.
I'll play it for a week for this show. Yeah. I'll play it for a week for this show and that's probably going to be it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we had this on our rundown, but I just remembered they put out that really low res image for Nintendo Online. I think between the last time we did the show.
That's right,
and
And they said September
is going to start. It was meant to have started already, wasn't it? Wasn't it meant to be like the start of the year?
I guess, the implication that of the original thing was like January 1st, 2018.
It was
early 2018, and then it's, and I don't know. I mean, who cares? Like,
they haven't said what it is.
It's like they've done nothing to convince anyone that it's worth anything. At
this point, it's just a subscription for something you already get for free. They still posted like those same three games, whatever they were, like Mario Brothers 3, Balloon Fight and something else. You'll be able to play these online. Like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. and you're going to have to talk. You're going to have to do matchmaking and group chat on an app on your phone.
And then maybe like, and then they disappear after a month. And there's no other place to play an NES game. You can't play them easily.
If they want anyone to care about it, they've got to just be more clear about what other stuff you get apart from playing online Splatoon or ARMS or whatever. Because, like, that's it. And the fact that they've been so vague, maybe they're still working it out.
You're so vague.
That's potentially the ace of this is if it turns out to the much speculated virtual console or Netflix style thing, but you know, you can't put a date out and go, hey, cool, this is when it's launching and expect anyone to really give a fuck. Like, oh, cool, we have to pay for stuff that we already get for free. Like, just don't make an announcement.
And most of the stuff that it should be, like just the basic online functionality, there's models on two other consoles already that are perfectly fine. Yeah. Just do a version of that. Just tell us it's going to be a version of that.
You don't even need those models. Just take a punt at what you think it should be and you'll probably nail it.
Well, and then the problem is as well is like the thing of them going like announcing a game and it coming out in a month or whatever is cool when it's something you're looking forward to. Mm. But when it's this like hammer hanging over your head of like at some point you're going to have to pay, we won't tell you why.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's almost,
I mean, in terms of paying to play like Splatoon online, like God, I don't know who's going to do it. Yeah. Like, they just haven't proved that it's worth anything at this point.
Yeah.
Like, no one uses the app and it's free. Like, think they almost need to scrap it, or they'd better hope that the other side of it, the retro games thing is
hopefully they're looking at the ideas that Microsoft is having with that Game Pass thing. Pretty seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So the other thing that they announced was that a Mario movie is in the works.
Yeah.
Which they've talked about before or just was a rumor?
They did it in 1993.
Not aware. But yeah, this is with Illumination, which is the studio that made Despicable Me and the Minions movie. Yes.
They're the ones who control the governments, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. The Illumination.
The movie's going to be released on the $5 note. You know, the only way you can watch it is by folding the note over.
You're only allowed to watch it with one eye.
So, yeah, for me, not a fan of the Minions at all. Cause for concern.
But you're dressed like one today.
Cause for concern, but Big Shiggy is directly involved with it.
Yeah.
So,
Big Shig.
What's he doing? He's producing.
You're right over there. Around the corner, we're in the Pikmin.
Big Shiggy, that's Big Shiggy. Shiggy.
Oh, yeah, Shaggy.
Yeah. I like Shaggy.
Oh.
What else could Big Shiggy do? Oh, geez, Scoob. Like Shaggy. Yep. Like the other Shaggy.
Yeah. No, but that's not Shiggy. That's just, you just quoted Shaggy.
Yeah.
He just said, oh, geez, Scoob.
Yeah, but Scoob is what he calls Anuma.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, you're off the hook. You're off the hook.
Look, guys, you forced me to do this Big Shiggy thing.
Oh, we should also announce Knox is writing this movie. So,
boy, I hope it's as good as this.
It's going to be great.
I don't know anything about the Minions other than like the mid-40s women I've seen post memes with them.
Yes.
So I have nothing against them as a concept. And after, they are basically rabbits.
Yes, I was going to say,
So Mario and rabbits was good.
Yeah.
Maybe the Minions slip in there well.
Well,
or maybe
they're not going to be in the film.
Yeah.
But that's
there'll
the
be
thing.
One in the background like Pixar.
I don't like Minions because they're kind of lazily designed. But that's, this is a good animation studio who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Being given all these other assets.
Oh, and the design of, man with hat and mustache. Not lazy.
But so it seems like they've gone for a company that like has pitched them a low budget and a high return, because Minions just went insane. They've clearly gone like, oh, you know how to like market stuff to kids. We'll give you this movie.
I'm sure they weren't cheap though these days. I don't know.
They've got to be cheaper than Pixar and maybe not DreamWorks.
And like, I have no idea how Hollywood deals work.
Well, I do. So if you want to know, just ask me any question.
Okay. How do Hollywood deals work?
You don't want to know, mate.
I'm fascinated to see how this turns out, because it's not a character that lends itself to depth or anything happening.
Does he talk in the movie?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the charm of Mario in the games, is that he's kind of mute and he's just kind of, he's this demigod-like figure who doesn't really react to anything.
Yes.
But like, maybe they do that. Maybe they have him be like this truck of a person who just barrels through all these problems without saying anything.
If like it's like a fucking Buster Keaton movie where it's just, you know, he's going through all these weird physical, you know, stunts and shit. Like the games.
And they can't have him talk. If he has to get to the point where he gives like an inspirational speech, hey, everybody. I know we've worked really hard to get to here.
It'll be sound ridiculous.
If they want to keep it consistent with the games, you can't have him doing dialogue in that voice for the whole movie.
What happens if he doesn't talk in Paper Mario? Do that. Have everybody else but him talk.
Yeah.
And Mario's a fucking idiot and keeps bumbling his way like Mr. Magoo into like solving all these problems.
Yes.
And all the other people go, oh, good idea, Mario. If you you slip on the pots and pans, yeah, that'll create a noise. It's a distraction. And he's in the background going, I was trying to make a spaghetti. Like, yes, make Mario this idiot.
Yes.
Yeah, but then
yes,
the worry would be to fill that gap of people talking, they're going to have another character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's like, they'd have to bring in like a, if they get licensed to kind of invent their own character, like a precocious kid.
No,
it's like Mario, yeah, psychic. That would be horrific.
Yes. Unless it's a Goomba.
Yeah.
Like if it's a sassy Goomba and yeah, a, and
what about
a
Luigi?
Sassy Goomba.
Yeah, sassy Goomba, scared Boo.
Peach, you, Peach can talk.
Peach and Luigi.
She's just a person. Yeah.
Don't make this thing like Peach has been kidnapped again.
No, you can't do that.
It will be though.
Because all that stuff is going to stick out worse in a movie than it does in a game. The thing of like, so Peach is helpless. Cool.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I hope, because like, remember that Muppets movie where they made the new Muppet?
Yeah.
I don't want him to do something like that.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And then the guy from Big Bang Theory played him when he was looking in the mirror imagining he was a person.
Yeah.
Get the Muppets involved.
Oh.
Or do the Muppets thing and have it just be Treasure Island but with Mario characters.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But again, with a mute protagonist.
No, have him be Long John Silver.
Oh.
Hey, Jimmy boy. Where do you want to find the treasure, huh? Oh. When you're a pirate.
Well, speaking of things I wish I was after this riff, Knox, you've been playing a game called Dead Rising.
Yeah.
I tried to do what you do.
You wish you were rising.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was getting erect at this conversation.
I've been playing a new release out this week, Dead Rising.
Yeah. Brand new game. Never seen this one before.
No. It's from 2006.
Mm-hmm.
There's a remastered version that... It's made by Capcom.
Mm-hmm.
It uses the same engine that Monster Hunter World now uses.
Right.
But like the first version of that. So that was kind of, I was interested in like, oh, I wonder what the origins of this stuff is.
Yeah.
A real rev head.
Yeah, that's me.
Get in there and have a look at the engine.
Let me
see what's under the hood.
Oil all over your face.
A third thing about cars. I don't know an enormous amount
wrench
about cars.
Wrench in the back pocket.
Yeah. Tire. Seem
like there you're running out of petrol, Knox.
Oh. Gasket. So the it's you, this photographer Frank West who gets caught in a zombie outbreak in a mall. Stop me if you've heard this one.
Yeah.
Down the shops.
He's
for
been,
our Australian
yeah.
listeners.
Yeah, he's been down.
Or up the shops.
Yep. Down shops if you're in the north of England.
Thank you. British correspondent Adam Knox.
Guten Tag. So you've got a limited time. You've got a 72-hour time limit before your helicopter shows up again to take you out. And you're a photojournalist investigating what's going on. And so during that 72 hours, which plays out, it's about 5 minutes per hour or something like that in real time.
Right.
You have to go around and solve sort of the mystery of what's going on with the zombies is your sort of main through line. And then also there's a bunch of people who are stuck in the mall that you can optionally try and rescue. But you've got a strict time limit for each thing.
Right.
So it's pretty stressful from that point of view where you have this window to try and save these people.
Yep.
They have fucking awful AI. Every single one of them will run behind you and you go like, hey, follow me and we'll get to safety. And they'll go, briefly I'll do that.
Then
I'm going to stop here and get attacked by a bunch of zombies.
So is every mission that? Because escort missions are the worst missions in video games.
Well, so the main through line has different stuff.
Right.
Where you're fighting these, there are also these psychopaths in the mall. As soon as a zombie outbreak happens, people go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
A cult is immediately formed in the cinema. It's got a fun like sense of humor. It doesn't take itself very seriously. It's pretty like goofy in a very Japanese video game sort of way where like the zombies, if they attack you, it'll look like they're giving you a blowjob when they're biting you.
Well, that's really
stuff
funny.
Like that.
It's hilarious.
Another one will be 69ing you.
Wow, now
zombies.
I'm definitely rising.
Is this serious?
That happens in the game.
Wow.
Quite often. And you have to wiggle the joystick to get them off.
Oh, yes, you
do. I can see why they're still using this engine. They've peaked.
Yeah, you know in Monster Hunter when Rathalos comes up and bites your dick? My favorite part of that game. Anyway, so it's got that. So there are hundreds of zombies on the screen at one time. They're everywhere. They're all very weak and you used whatever sort of weapons at the hand. So pretty much everything.
Like a golf club or a chainsaw or a walking stick.
There's a hunting shop in this mall and there's a knife shop.
Right, you use the door frame from the shop.
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon the knife shop goes in competition with the broader scale of the hunting shop.
cooking knives.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I forgot you, there were two knives.
I guess your real knife aficionado would go to the knife store for the real, you know, boutique experience.
Oh, if he's, you know, if he's anal about the kind of blade that he wants, then
That's going to be a problem. That's going to be real painful.
Yeah. Anal blade is my favorite
band from the late 90s.
You pick up whatever random shit, and then you food is your health restoring thing. So big OJ is really good. And separately to that,
strongly disagree.
I know the courts cleared him, but I personally disagree with that.
If your dick gets bit, then the zombie must acquit. That is the way. That is the first thing when you turn the game on. That's what it says.
Nice.
So it controls a little shittily now.
Yeah,
of course. It's an old game, and the controls.
12 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The aiming is a little dodgy, especially with any guns you're going to use. But it's frustrating because there are a lot of escort missions.
Yeah.
There are a lot of awkward time limits, specific save points where you can go. There's a lot of just sort of outdated stuff
right
now, but there's something about it that is really. Inventive and charming.
Right.
You know, like it really is trying.
Yeah. 69ing. That's what that is.
Yeah. I think
inventive
it's.
Inventive and charming.
Yes. It only happens occasionally, but like it's all that sort of stuff where like.
Yeah.
It's these fucking ridiculous psychopaths who you have no reason to have gone this crazy in this short amount of time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the zombie thing is so overdone that anything that colors even slightly outside the lines is like, what? Like even,
exactly.
You know, Days Gone By.
Days Gone.
God damn it, I always get it wrong.
If you just stop.
Just the fact that a motorbike is in there. It's like, oh, wow, this is revolutionary.
Yes. There's a motorbike in Dead Rising.
There you go.
Not and so revolutionary.
Uh-oh. There's a sedan. Baby, ain't no revolution.
There's a van.
Ooh.
There's multiple.
Wow.
And it just beating up a fuckload of zombies is fun.
Yes.
Yeah,
innately. Even if the controls are a bit frustrating, what you're seeing happen on screen is still fun.
Right. And it sounds kind of arcadey and kind of just
it
like,
is.
This is a fun game. There's not much else going on.
Extremely video gaming.
Yeah.
But, and sometimes just, in frustrating ways. And you have to get it into your head that you can't get everything done.
Right.
Some people are going to die, and if they do, fuck them.
Right.
Every man for themselves.
It's like life itself.
Oh, yes.
It is exactly the way I treat life.
What do you think's better, this game Dead Rising or the song Bad Moon Rising?
I would say Metal Gear Revengeance Rise. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Yes.
That wasn't one of the options, but hey.
It has like Rising in it too, though.
Colouring outside the lines, always good, and you've proven me exactly right.
My preference, the Land of the Rising Sun.
The actual country of Japan?
Indeed.
Ditto,
indeed.
Big fan.
Yes.
Big fan.
Japan is good, and they've created so... This video game. After the 72 hours, if you've followed all of the sort of main story threads through, and I guess this is a spoiler, but the game is 12 years old.
Yes.
So the game is old enough that it would be, if it were a child, it would be at the age where you go, the boy has to learn. So you have to learn as well.
Yes.
If you do that, so you have the option to just fuck off the main story.
Right.
And just fuck around them all if you want, or try and save people.
Yep.
And if you go and restart it, because it's quite short because it's in that real time thing.
Yes.
If you restart it, you keep all your stats from the previous run through.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So you kind of build up and get more powerful and everything. It's a video game.
So it basically ends at the end of that 72-hour cycle.
So, and then after that, you go into overtime mode, which is this second half of the story.
Right.
Right.
And then at the end of that is the worst boss fight I've ever seen in a video game. It's fucking shit.
Wow.
And the only way to beat it, or pretty much, is to do this stupid fucking trick.
Right.
It's a very Nox review where it's like, all of a sudden a huge sticking point for you comes out almost by accident.
Yes.
If I hadn't asked you that question, you wouldn't have revealed this. Yeah.
This is the only reason I've been talking about it, is to get to, it's just this dumb military guy who you haven't seen for the whole game.
Right.
And then he shows up, he's like, I want to kill you, you bastard.
Right.
And then you're like, why? Why? We're already out. Why do you want to kill us? And he's like, you're going to die.
Wow.
And then you get on top of a tank and you just have to kick him again and again and again. It's the worst.
This is like the time your dad came back from being in the army overseas. This military guy has been gone the whole time. He came back and I just got on a tank and started kicking him.
Yeah.
Kicking the shit out of him. The boy has to learn.
Yes.
He's only 12.
It's equal parts like fun and frustrating.
Right.
It's that kind of thing where when you figure out how to beat it at its own game, you go, fuck you, video game. You're not better than me. Then after that, You get an infinite mode, and you're trying to survive in the mall for as long as you can.
Yeah, cool.
And your health is constantly going down, so you have to be running around. That stops you from just staying in the one place. You have to go around and find eggs and whatever and eat them.
It's
okay. It's aged terribly. So if you don't have a particularly high threshold for if it came out today, be just kind of dumb decisions,
right,
then it's probably not worth going back to.
Right.
But especially if with Monster Hunter, because it has those sort of weird... like it does it its own way types of systems in it.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying adapting to that, then it's not dissimilar. And it's a pretty unique-ish zombie thing.
Right.
As much as they can be.
Is it reasonably priced?
Is there a
Mrs. Knox?
I believe it is $15 to sleep with my wife, Mrs. Knox. $15 to $20. Something
that's all right.
Like that. Yeah.
That's all right.
A 12-year-old game, it better not be more than that. Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go through some shade in there at the end.
On
PS4 and Xbox One and PC.
Right.
It's all over the place. And the original was on the 360. So if you still have one of them, you can play in them.
Ain't there some sequels to this game?
There are 3 sequels.
Right.
And I am very much intending to play them at some point.
Right. But this is the only one that's been remastered.
Yeah.
2 has also been remastered.
All right.
And then 3 was on the Xbox One originally and now is on everything. Same with 4.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, you can play all of them on everything but a Switch.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
I don't know if there's a demo, because it's something that if you don't click with it, you're not going to for the whole thing.
Okay.
Right.
So maybe watch some videos of it first and see if it's maybe your thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I would give it 2 zombies out of 4 zombies.
That's not very much.
50%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I would give it. I don't like ratings.
3 out of 4?
No, 2.5.
Yeah.
As good as listening to the song Zombie by the Cranberries.
Oh. Well, now that's a bit sad to listen to.
Why?
Because she died.
Yeah, but does that make it sad?
Yeah.
It's not. So every song that you listen to.
Not going to her funeral on Facebook. So it really brings back some memories.
Yeah, but at least you got to see the photo of her corpse as the covering.
God. So do you listen to the hits of Bruno Mars and go, this is great because this guy is still alive?
You get a little bit like after somebody dies listening to a song that they made. You're telling me you don't go like, oh, that's right, mortality.
No.
Really? I mean, it's not like listening to a Michael Jackson song doesn't remind me of the fact that people die.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson is like, who cares as much with him?
Because
it's like, what was this guy about? But like, if you go back and watch Frasier now, you're going to be like, John Mahoney, I barely know he.
Yeah, I'm going to be like that.
I already hated that show. So
really?
Yeah.
Frasier's good.
I love Frasier.
Oh, Frasier's. I went back and watched every single episode of it a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a big 3 days.
it's a good show.
Okay. Yeah.
Same with Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes.
That holds up.
That is a good show.
Yes. Yeah.
And as far as I know, everyone in the cast, God willing, currently alive. Well, now we've dated this episode appallingly.
Yeah.
If Michael Jackson comes back to life, Frankie Muniz perishes in some way, then we are going to look like idiots.
Or maybe you'll look like a fucking genius for having predicted that that could happen.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
But yeah, everyone from Malcolm in the Middle at this stage alive. But not their careers.
Yeah, I was going to make that joke and then Tommy said Frankie Muniz die and I didn't bother making the joke.
Good for you.
Bryan Cranston, the big winner out of that show. Yeah. Who would have predicted? I mean, he's great in it, but...
And Dewey is like a genius.
Yeah, Malcolm was racing cars for a bit and then had a brain tumor at some point, but he's all right now.
Yeah, right.
Other guy, Francis, whatever his real name is, is the brother of the Scientologist weirdo from that 70s show.
Yeah, Danny Masterson.
Who is apparently a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Reese, I don't know what happened to him, and Lois, I'm not sure. Yeah. The baby, no idea.
Oh, there's a baby.
That's a desperate ploy.
Throw a baby in the final season.
What about his little wheelchair friend?
Stevie? Oh, Stevie. Yeah. Don't know what he's doing either.
He ran out of breath finally.
Oh,
the mum is... No, is the mum in... No, who am I thinking of? There's a show called The
George
Middle.
George Clooney.
There's a show called The Middle.
Yeah, right.
And the dad in it is the janitor from Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems weird.
That takes place in a world where Malcolm died, so it's just the middle.
Yeah. But is I feel like maybe it's the mum from Malcolm in the Middle is in there.
Yeah, you might be right.
I don't know.
There's no way to know.
Who's looking at the janitor from Scrubs and going, get this guy his own show?
Yeah. He was the dad in Mean Girls.
Right.
Yeah. So
anyway, what have you been playing, Ben?
I started Fallout 4 again, mm-hmm. and I'm loving it. It's a really good game. I disagree with most people who played it, apparently. but I love it. I just think it's great. I just had this hankering, this yeah. real hankering for mm-hmm. like a traditional RPG. I wanted a game where I could do all my stats and collect a bunch of gear and go out and do quests. And it's that. And
yep.
I think it looks really good. I love the systems. I'm just so familiar with them from the previous ones and kind of Skyrim sort of.
How come you didn't continue your previous game? Just too much time had passed and you would have just clean slate?
I'd finished the game, basically. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'd finished it twice already.
Right.
Like all the way through the story, two different characters.
Yeah.
I'm going back in for a third time.
I got to the point with that game where you have to sort of make a decision to align with one of the factions.
Yeah, yeah.
And got cripplingly indecisive about it and yes. never went back to that game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first time I played it, I feel like I made the wrong decision. And so I played
in playing
again.
It?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of peer pressure is coming through. No, I think I picked the wrong faction. I played it again, picked a different one. I was like, oh, no, it just kind of isn't the point after that point. Like the main story happens, you experience it a certain way, and then you just go back to playing a role-playing game, like doing quests and shit.
And you basically save before that decision if you want to see them all.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I think with that game, a lot of the stuff with, and tell me if you agree with this, or keep it to your fucking self.
I may become a mute Mario character.
Which options are you going to go with?
A lot of the people who hated that game wanted it to be something it wasn't, which is kind of fair because it has this lineage of games that led up to it, of Fallout 3 and Skyrim and stuff.
Yes.
But if you take that game for what it is and what it presents to you, what's there is good.
What's there is great. Like, I really, really love it.
Mm.
I can't remember what the specific criticisms were. Like, it's not as complex or, like...
You can't play a character you've come up with, basically. Like, the dialogue options were very limited of, like...
That's true.
Yes, fuck yes, or fuck you, yes.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah,
and it was that sort of, you were being led down a bit of a path. And it did take more of a shootery tone.
Yeah.
I know a big one was that it was very buggy when it launched, which a lot of people were.
Right.
That's Bethesda game, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Which doesn't let him off the hook. But
doesn't make it okay.
Yeah, also, the PS4 one was fine from my experience.
Right.
And I played it like on launch day. I just like it for what it is, a kind of semi-deep role-playing game with shooter elements and a massive, interesting world. I love that the aesthetic of it, that 1950s... nuclear age kind of thing. I just really, really like it. I think it's a good game. And I've played some of the DLC. It's all right. It's okay for just another story thing to do, but I don't really need it. I just like...
A lot of it was focused on the house building stuff as well, right? Or the city
building. No, there's like been, I think, four DLCs.
Mm.
One was like a robot one where you make some robots. One was a house building one, I think. Then there was a story called... It's like Nuka World, and it's like a theme park that's taken over by these gangs, different factions, and you just play through a story in it. And Far Harbor, which again is like you go to another little new area and you play through another story.
Yeah,
so
right.
Yeah,
I find it with games that I've finished and then I go to play again, it's pretty rare that I've seen something through to the credits twice, because I kind of go, I love that, I want to play it again, and I typically get about a third of the way through and go, yeah, okay, I get it.
Right.
I remember this now.
Right.
Which is it? Yeah, like it's kind of. I'm envious of you being able to push through and actually see it through to the end. You're obviously missing the whole heaps of games that I've played the first quarter of.
Yeah.
Dozens of times, but I'm just missing that sweet bit at the end.
Well, I think it tends to be games for me at least that are not just playing through a story.
Right.
Like, what I love about Fallout 4 is building a character, leveling it up and exploring.
Right.
And getting to the point where you're like running around taking out these giant monsters really easily and almost kind of like role-playing, like getting into the character and going around and exploring the world in that character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much just doing the story beats because, yeah.
But then you can play through Final Fantasy VII like 10 times or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe I'm a psychopath.
There was
thing. That's I just love the story so much and it, yeah.
Well, there was a thing about the remake of Final Fantasy VII I saw before.
It's going to be great. Is that it? Is that the news?
Unfortunately, they came out with the news that it's going to be terrible.
Oh, no!
That's a bold PR strategy by them.
The new trailer, and it's just someone going like, oh, I don't know.
Look, we're still going to keep working on it because we're this far in, but it's clear to all and sundry. We fucked.
We're just running out our contracts at this point. It was about the character of Cloud, and they've kind of redesigned him to be more like the original, where he was kind of a dork.
Yeah, right.
Which is something that I've noticed has slipped away in the years since that game came out.
Right.
Because they made him a lot more like morose and, I feel bad about being a video game character.
Totally.
But in the first one, he was like goofy and joking around. He was a bit of a smartass.
Yeah, exactly. He was a smartass. He was like a Han Solo type. Just like this kind of rebellious dude who was like, yeah, I'm here to make my money and get out, but I'm kind of charming.
He looked like a completely different person when he was in his
20s. Yes. Almost like a bad actor.
Yeah, almost like he was doing a shit impression of himself in his
20s. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
Hot takes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the dork, I think, was the word that the designer, whoever said it, used.
Yeah, nice. That's
about
great.
You specifically.
I'm still on board. He's talking about me. Or she.
Anything else you've played?
More Monster Hunter World. Like a lot more. Mm-hmm. I reckon I'd actually put in about 6 or 7 hours last time we talked about it. I think you were about 5, Tommy. So that made sense why I was a bit further in. I'm like 25, 27 hours in at this point. So
right.
Just cranking it. Just really killing a lot of monsters.
Now, that could mean that you're loving it or hating it. Always hard to tell with you. Time investment doesn't necessarily mean enjoyment.
I'm loving it. Right. I really think it's a good game. I mentioned it last time, and I think we had a couple of listeners be like, the story is superficial, but, you know, like, it's still there and it's still not terrible. And
it forces you to watch it as well, which is the...
That's been annoying. There's been a lot of longish cutscenes that I'm just like, well, time to make a coffee.
Yeah.
But the actual bits that the gameplay bits that like tie into those moments are really fun still.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a few like God of War-ish jumping and running around on giant monsters and bits of gameplay that are not just go to an area, hunt a monster.
Yep.
It gets a bit more interesting.
Yep.
But then going straight back into these hunting monster missions and they're just really fun.
Yeah.
Just like chuck on a podcast and run around and kill a monster and it's, yeah, all the mechanics work together so well.
For anyone who's chucked on this podcast where they're killing monsters, hello.
Yes.
You've unlocked God mode of real life. You've discovered the secret.
Use a potion now.
Oh, that's cool. Donate $20 to our PayPal account now.
I think that's all I've been playing.
Yeah,
really.
I wish I'd have had some more time to play that. I really want to get more into it. I played like a couple more hours of it, and it is good.
Yeah.
This week there was nothing new on the consoles that I wanted to check out, so I've played a few mobile things because I bought a new iPad a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
For the purposes of doing illustration stuff on, and then just this week went, oh, this thing can play games as well, so I figured I should check out a couple of things. I'm a bit like you, Ben. I don't love mobile gaming in general at the best of times, and especially since my phone screen is just shattered, so I don't really bother to check stuff out, even if it comes highly recommended. But one thing I did love back in the day was the first Monument Valley, and so I've kind of been holding out until I either got a screen that wasn't fucked to you know, actually be able to appreciate the second one. So yeah, I've been playing that. Have either of you played?
I played the first one.
Only the first one.
Really good. Second one just takes all that stuff and expands upon it. It looks amazing, especially on the iPad screen, and just even the design of it, the color palette, everything about it. Like, I think it might be, those two games might be the perfect iPad game in that you couldn't replicate them without the touch screen and the way that they're presented to you on it. Like, they feel as good as good games on a console feel,
right?
But you wouldn't be able to play them on a console.
Yeah,
like
they're
strictly a touchscreen experience.
While you're on this thing, just before I forget, a game that is like that, there's three of them called The Room, which nothing to do with Tommy Wiseau or any of that.
Or Tommy Dasilo.
Oh, phew. I was sweating for a second there.
It's just a bunch of like puzzle boxes basically that you're doing, but you investigate them and you get up real close and you, you know, flip this latch up and turn a lever and that does something on the other side of the box. They're really fun little puzzle games.
Right. Yeah.
And perfectly suited for mobile.
Exactly. It'd be a fucking nightmare to play them with a controller or whatever.
Yeah.
But just being able to manipulate it with your hands works.
And like nothing in Monument Valley is undoable, like is too taxing. Like it's
right,
you never hit a ledge where you're like, oh man, what am I fucking meant to do here?
Right,
you just twist stuff around or put ledges. To explain it for anyone who's never played it, they're kind of like It's kind of like a video game version of like an Escher painting where you're on like a building and you're trying to get to from one side to the other, and there's various various platforms that you can move up and down by touching them, and little wheels that you can crank to turn bits of it around.
Yes. A bit like Echo Chrome on the PS3, if anybody played that.
Yeah. Right. So basically there'll be no path for you to go, but then you'll spin a thing around. But as you spin this platform around, the perspective will kind of change, and all of a sudden you can like walk up a wall that was blocked to you before.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, like really cool.
Optical illusion-y stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you unlock a bit like that, when you spin something around and you see all of a sudden it's completely shifted the perspective, it feels cool every time.
Yeah.
Because everything there is just like, well, here's three things that you can move. Just move them until it works. Like you never really come up against it for too long, but just the experience and the journey of watching that stuff kind of fall together is just so satisfying, even though you're not really doing that much.
And the aesthetic you mentioned before, it's great, like those pastel-y colours and just
pastel-y
the design.
The designs, the music, it's very, very immersive. Especially on the bigger the iPad that you have, like the bigger the screen, the more crisp it all looks. I also played a game that a mutual online acquaintance of ours recommended Cinco Pouse.
Right. Mutual online acquaintance is probably the highest rank you can have in someone's life.
Yeah.
Well, he's coming to my funeral, I'll say that much. He posted about it in a video games group that we're all in. I would never have discovered this game were it not for him posting about it. I think he just discovered it sort of accidentally by another developer who he follows tweeting about it.
Right.
It's a Portuguese game. It is
the Nando's app.
That would be great. It is in Portuguese, but it's meant to all be pretty weird and alien feeling. So the fact that you don't speak the language doesn't really matter. In fact, if anything, it kind of adds to it. It's basically it's really hard to explain because it's a very unique design. You are trying to make your way through a room. There's enemies. It's like top-down perspective. It's like a roguelike. And you have five different wands that you can use once each per room that you're in.
Oh, yeah.
And they all have different effects that are random and different each time you play.
Right.
But you only find out what those effects are if it gets triggered. You apply the wand to yourself and you can send it off in any direction on the screen. And some of them just outright kill the enemies. Some of them make enemies switch places. Some of them make you switch places with the enemies.
Right.
Some of them will build a wall. Some of them can ricochet off walls. Some of them can go around a corner. But you only find out if it can do that if you send it off and it actually does the thing.
Right.
So that sounds annoying and random to me in an unpleasant way.
Well, it's basically about you're sort of trying to work out...
What is this
out...
game called, by the way? Sorry.
Huh? Cinco Pouse.
Cinco Pouse.
Which is Portuguese for five sticks.
Right.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's...
Five sticks and one mouth.
really, really hard to explain, but it's worth... Right. It really is worth having a go because I've never played anything quite like it. It's basically...
How do you spell Cinco Pouse?
C-I-N-Q-O-P-A-U-S.
Okay.
Right.
So... Basically, we're trying to do it in the first room because the first room is always very simple, not many enemies. You're just kind of looking for situations where it's like, okay, well, there's a lot of things in front of me. Mm. I'll send this wand out and I'll get good results. Like, I'll get good feedback.
Right. So you have the same five wands for the entire run that you're doing.
Yes, and you can only use them once per... Each of them once per room.
So you want to find out what all five are ideally in that first room.
Yeah.
Because it'll be easy to get through... But we'll give you, and then it's your wands don't reset when you're in the next room.
They remain consistent. So you'll go into the next room, and up the top of the screen where the wands are kept, it then has a little icon next to each one for what the effects are.
So when you find
you don't
out,
have to memorize
right,
them. Yeah.
Right.
So, but basically, like you can set all of them off, and you can find effects that they all have, but you won't necessarily have found all of the effects that they have.
Right.
Because it didn't end up bumping into that type of enemy.
So they might all have three different rules attached to each of them.
Yes, they each have multiple rules attached to them. So it's basically each time you get into the game and you're sort of, you're learning what your abilities are every time. So it's not just about making it through. You have this kind of extra step where you have to work out the most effective way of you learning what all these different abilities that you have at your disposal are.
Okay.
It's really interesting. Like, yeah. it's really weird. The whole design of it, the look of it, it's got this kind of weird kind of like clip art, Microsoft-y clip art look to it where it sort of deliberately looks a bit shitty. But it's I'd really urge everyone to check it out. I think it's like okay. $7, but it's I've never played anything like it. Like, it is a really, really kind of unique setup for
that
a game.
That does sound cool. Do you know if it's only on the iOS store or is it Android as well?
I do not know if it's okay. on Android as well.
Again, you have the internet, so go out there and use it.
Yeah.
But check it out. I'd love to know on
that
the Facebook
cool.
what people think make of it.
Cinco Pass. Well, speaking of Cinco, you can get everything but the kitchen Cinco.
Whoa!
If you want to sell online. It. Do you sell online? Again, everybody has the internet right at their fingertips. eBay, Amazon, Magento. If you sell online, then you need ShipStation.
Yes.
It is the fast and easy way to manage and dispatch your orders all from one place. I hate it when things are fast and difficult
yeah.
or slow and easy, like me.
Slow and easy I'm actually fine with.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
fast and easy is better, though.
Sure. Oh, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
And that is a good description of ShipStation. Whether you're using eBay, Amazon, Shopify, or over 60 other popular selling channels, ShipStation brings all your orders into one place, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your mobile phone.
Now, when you say over 60... How close to 70 are we talking?
Look, we might be talking a little bit of, let's just call it a zombie attack.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. All I know is that it's over 60. And hey, that's when life really starts these days. Over 60 is the new 38.
wow.
Did you know that you can use ShipStation to compare rates from top couriers, including Royal Mail, FedEx, DHL, and UPS?
I did know that because we'd done that before.
Yeah. Well, I tuned out. I genuinely didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
This might be useful for you, Tommy. Mm-hmm. Whether you have one or hundreds of orders, ShipStation makes it easy to batch and print labels so you can get orders out quickly and keep your customers happy.
So if you have one or hundreds, what about dozens? Is that covered under this?
It is in between one and hundreds. Okay. So
yeah, it's one or hundreds.
Yeah, one or.
One and or hundreds.
There we go.
As well as some others.
There we go.
Dozens, ShipStation can do it.
Now we're fixing up their copy. Yeah. This guy should be paying it. Oh, wait.
It is no wonder that ShipStation, because of these reasons and more, is a popular choice of online sellers across the UK.
Yeah, nice.
Which stands for United Kingdom.
Mm, your mate.
Yes.
That's your best mate.
Again, go down shops today. So you can try ShipStation for free. You don't have to go down shops. It's online.
That's right.
You can try it for free for 30 days, plus get a special bonus when you use the promotion code CASUALS.
Nice.
To get this special promotion, you just need to visit ShipStation.com. Click on the little microphone at the top of the homepage and type in CASUALS. That's ShipStation.com. Then enter promotion code CASUALS. ShipStation.com. Oh. 98% and I fucking anti Stephen Bradbury'd it at the end, which is a great thing for all our UK listeners.
You were the guy in front of Bradbury.
I caused it all to happen.
Bradbury's mated it.
Yeah.
But I could sell my story online. So yeah, if you're an online seller, check out ShipStation.com and make ship happen.
Yeah.
They get it.
Which is also the tagline of a shipbuilding factory that lives near me.
So many companies now in their ads have the click the microphone button at the top of the page. I mean, if you're someone who made some, if you drew up some, you know, microphone clip art a few years ago, boy, you're loving it.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
rolling in it.
If you're a website developer who can put a microphone thing in their menu, hey, call me.
Are making hay right now.
Yeah. If you're the person who has the rights to that like silver microphone with the lines through it, then Comedy Posters are putting your kids through college.
We have another sponsor this episode.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of getting put through college.
There were these two guys at college, these two college kids going through it.
Mm-hmm. Now, these guys sound like they're not going to achieve anything.
Yeah, well, they were just ordinary guys. They were called Jeff and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And
just like us.
Yeah. I'm Jeff, you're Andy, and he's And.
They're so relatable.
Two guys called Jeff and Andy, just like the three of us.
What did Jeff and Andy do?
Look, they were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially Jeff, that hairy fuck.
I know. He was down to no arms and no legs. It was brutal. He shaved twice.
The amount of money he had to spend on the razors to cut off his arms and legs as well was absolutely insane.
And they weren't comfortable razors. They didn't provide a good shave or a clean cut.
Well, that's my bare minimum.
I know. So they went, well, fuck this. we're going to go out and start our own razor company and then it's going to be really good. They won't charge an arm and a leg, so you don't have to cut anything off. You just shave your face with them. And that is a little company called Ship. No, it's called it's called Harry's. Harry's Razors.
Yay.
They're back. The boys are sponsoring us again. Thanks, mm-hmm. Jeff.
They love it.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
They came by just before with this in a telegram.
Yes. It was hastily scribbled down. That's why I'm not reading it very well. but they basically started a company that they stripped out anything unnecessary. All the overheads are gone.
A lot like having a shave. Take all the unnecessary shit off of your face.
Ooh, yes.
And out of your company.
Yes.
So he's thinking about the website while he's shaving and he's like, this gives me an idea.
Microphone logo.
So there's no vibrating handle. There's no heated blades. There's no 15 lubricating strips.
I've got to say, I wouldn't mind a vibrating handle. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, you don't have to buy a razor blade for that.
That shit's all malarkey. You don't need it.
Malarkey, my local sex toy shop.
Mm.
Really?
Sells vibrating handles.
Oh.
Yes. So... the good shave happen with good blade. And Harry's, they make amazing blades.
Mm-hmm.
It's just $2 a blade compared to four or more for drugstore/chemist/supermarket blades. All Harry's products are backed by 100% quality guarantee, which is pretty good.
That's as many percentage points as you can have.
Yeah, not 98% like someone else's...
Reading habits,
indeed, yes.
Brain capacity.
Yes. Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades. They'll give you a trial shave set for free, motherfuckers.
Now, the stones on these guys.
The absolute madmen. They'll give you a shave set for free, a trial one, if you go to harrys.com/filthycasuals.
Sounds like more of an Andy idea. Yeah. I reckon Jeff's, you know, he's apprehensive. He's like, giving them out for free? Andy, you got to listen to me.
I've crunched the numbers and Andy, you're being ridiculous. You're a maverick.
Shut the fuck up, Jeff. You shut the fuck up right now.
Yeah. Andy loves his consumers. He loves the customers. He wants to give them something.
He's a man of the people.
Exactly. Jeff, he's a nerd. He's a number cruncher. He's got a little visor on with a little ticker tape, little accounting thing.
When you took the quiz on BuzzFeed, did you come up as a Jeff or an Andy?
What do you think I came up as?
Boy, I'd love to get these guys on the show.
Oh, yeah. So claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover shipping, which is great. Mm-hmm. Pay shipping, get a free fucking trial set of razor blades that are the best available. Just go to harrys.com/filthycasuals and get that trial set.
Awesome.
Thank you once again, Harry's, for supporting our show.
harrys.com/filthycasuals is my personal homepage.
Wow.
As in, like, what, your website?
Yes.
Where people go to find your gig information.
Uh-huh. It's all at harrys.com/filthycasuals.
Wow.
One I've final thing that I played on the iPad this week, which is, it started out as a PS Vita game. It is currently available on the Switch.
What is this? Is a mystery. I'm excited to find out what it's going
to
be.
But I chose to get it on the iPad because it's a little bit cheaper and B, bigger screen. It is a game called Severed. Have either of you gentlemen heard about this?
I have. I've heard the name. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's like a hack and slash kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the Kane and Rince Best of 2017, which goes for 12 hours, and they talk about every single game that came out in 2017.
That's insane.
And it is good. Like, if you want to find out about some stuff...
Fuck, they're thorough.
Yeah.
They're basically the opposite podcast to us.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They're very clean and they're serious. Yeah. They're clean seriouses.
But it's a good way to find stuff that just completely, you know, was not on your radar at all. And this kind of stuck out to me, so I went and looked it up. So it came out on the Switch last year. I think it may have been out on iOS for longer than that.
Right.
It's a first-person kind of dungeon crawler game that is entirely touchscreen based. There's another thing that deterred me from getting it on the Switch. You can't play it on the TV. You can only play it in handheld mode, which is another thing.
Because it needs the touch.
It needs, you have to touch the
Much
screen.
Much like me.
Needed that touch.
I'm going to need it to be touched. That's Mario. I couldn't be.
So that's another thing that kind of drew me towards getting it on the iPad instead.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good. So it's a dungeon crawler. It's first person, and you come up against these enemies that are in front of you, and it's almost Fruit Ninja style. You have a blade, and you're slashing across the screen. They each have different weak points. They each kind of block and defend you in different ways. You get it as it goes on. You're surrounded by enemies, and they kind of have like a little countdown timer on the bottom of the screen of how long until they attack you. So you then kind of have to balance attacking them with looking at when they're going to attack you, and keep your eye on the bottom of the screen, then flick around and take care of that one.
Right.
Go back and take care of that one. There's also a thing, if you can get enough hits in a row without being blocked or being hit yourself, you turn on this kind of special combo thing where when you kill them, you can slice off their limbs, and the limbs of the enemies that you've defeated are what you use to upgrade your skills.
Right, so, right. Hence Severed being the title.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
So yeah, those mechanics all together, like it's got a very simple style, but it works. It kind of looks a little bit like, kind of reminds me a bit of the cartoon Samurai Jack. That simple, kind of colourful, angular style. But yeah, again, it delivers a really video gamey experience in a way that is very unique to a touchscreen.
Right.
It's weird that it came out first on the Vita, because it feels so made for a mobile device. Like, it's bizarre that it came out on a console and not on an iOS first.
I think there was an era where Sony were like paying developers more to release Vita exclusives, because no one was making anything for the Vita.
Right.
And so I think this was a smaller company as well who were like, thank you, Sony. Give us some money. We'll put it on the Vita. We'll get some marketing because it's on the Vita. Sony will help us out. I think there was an era of that happening.
There's definitely a few like Japanese games, or like predominantly Japanese market focused games that were just on the Vita as well.
Yeah,
like, some things, depending on who you were trying to appeal to, I guess.
There was, I think, a Final Fantasy game that maybe only came, or maybe it was the PSP.
There was that one Uncharted one.
Yeah,
there was which was the only sort of not. And then there's like a bunch of Japanese role-playing games and stuff, and like dating sims and whatever that are on the Vita.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get a Vita.
Maybe I'll get 7 Vitas.
But it feels great. Like the hacking and slashing at these things, it's what you'd expect. It's really precise. It feels really intuitive, and you really do feel like you're in it.
Yeah. I'm assuming you play it on landscape mode?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And then, you know, all standard kind of like going around these rooms of dungeons and, you know, looking for keys and double back. But the upgrade thing. So you start off with like if you've unlocked that, if you've triggered that thing where you can slice off the limbs, that starts with like, I think you get half a second. And some of them have many, many limbs that you have to quickly swipe and cut off.
Right.
And one of the things that you can upgrade is you get more time. So you end up getting, you know, 3/4 of a second, then up to, so then you're getting heaps of time, and then you're getting more limbs. And so that stuff of, which you love, that kind of leveling up. That's maxing out kind of thing is all really satisfying.
Yeah.
But I would never have found out about this if I hadn't listened to Kane and Rince talk about it. And I think it's really great.
Nice.
I would really, it's really easy to recommend. It's really fun. It's good for short bursts.
Yeah.
I think it's, if you've got an iPad, I would recommend getting it on that also, because it is a little bit cheaper. But if you don't, you can get it on Switch. And I do think it's worth the amount that it costs on Switch anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't think it's not worth that amount
of
money.
So this game about chopping off limbs, does it cost an arm and a leg? Or
get the fuck out of my house. Get the fuck out of my house. Gaslighting you into thinking that I live here.
Yeah. Fuck, all right. Sorry.
So yeah, check out Severed. It's it's good. All those three mobile games, like Cinco Pass, I'd really like to know what the filth make of it, because it's really bizarre but really interesting.
Yeah, nice.
And that's what I've been playing.
Speaking of people who listen to this podcast,
yes.
Do we want to quickly at the end here take a moment to read out just a few of the thoughts of people who have taken their time and used it to contact us?
Sure.
Can you say that again more slowly?
Probably not. Do you want to start? You had a couple of emails, Tommy.
We got, after we talked about the announcement of, God damn it, how do you say it, Labo?
Labo.
Labo.
Like a lab.
Labo.
Labo.
I'm still saying Labo.
Well, you're really going out on an arm and a limb there.
Excuse me?
Arm and a limb, like your joke from before.
Get
I can do it.
Get the fuck out of Tommy's house.
the cardboard shit.
Yes.
We got a couple of emails that, you know, we were sort of discussing that, you know, it looks interesting enough, but not, it's not really geared towards any of us. We got a couple of emails in from people who it is kind of geared towards that I thought were interesting to go through. First one, hey guys, Thought I'd share my thoughts on Labo.
Labo.
I picked up a Switch earlier in the year after selling my Xbox 360 and my beloved copy of Dark Souls a few years back when I moved into state and was about to have a kid. Perfect for my dad lifestyle. If I can get Moana off the TV, I can play some games on it, or if not, I can squeeze a couple of games in handheld mode and put it to sleep at any time if something happens. That kid is now 3 and I had my first moment playing a video game with her the other day. Mario Kart with auto steer and accelerate on with the Joy-Con jammed in a Wii wheel. She loved it and yelled whoopsie every time she accidentally hit a weapon box. She also loved helping me put together a new fan for her room in the searing hot weather over the weekend. Fashion report, I was wearing shorts.
Report, we're wearing shorts.
Fashion report, I'm wearing pants. Like an adult man.
Combine these things and think about the Labo. Something I can build with my daughter over a few hours, then play a simple game she might be able to understand on the telly. Might not be super interesting for an adult. I wouldn't be buying it if I didn't have her, but to build with the kids will be super great. I can't help but feel that I'm the target market here. Cheers, Ben. Which is cool. I like that he wedges in that he's gone and bought a fan.
Yes.
And then just putting his 3-year-old daughter to work to build it for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Work on the extension next. I'm gonna make this garage a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I think he's really into the Labo because he's assuming it will teach her to be better at building things, and then he's just going to go wild at IKEA.
His kid's
going to be fucking doing a reno out the back of his house in a couple of years' time.
Or just bigger and bigger fans.
Powering the city.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the kind of thing that I guess it is. Thing. He's not a thing. He's the two human people.
That's yes. situation.
That's the demo. That's the demographic. Yeah. Yeah. Which is not us. Like, it's fair. Yeah. Like,
well, I got bad news for you, Ben.
You got a kid?
You have.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
And then this other one, which is a very, very different take on it. Hey, boyos, here's what I plan on doing with the Labo.
Is the boyos bit the different part?
Yeah, totally. I've never been looped in with a... looped in? Lumped in with a group of boyos in my life.
Oh, yes.
There's talk of this Fuse scripting language dropping soon for Switch. As long as the integration with the motion and other sensors is a dog shit. I'd make my 10 and 8-year-old siblings a fucking custom birthday video game treasure hunt. Use the well-designed Labo bits as controllers to navigate them through some levels with family in-jokes that reveal location clues around the neighborhood. Fishing on Robbo's boat, which sank with us on board. Riding my motorbike, which both of them love going on the back of, etc. At the end of it, the final treasure is, oh yeah, by the way, keep the switches. Mic drop. You lot just lack the imagination. Oh, I like that we fucking copped it at the end.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a boat and a motorbike.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to whoever recommended Thimbleweed Park, which I don't believe was any of us.
No. Or maybe like Pete mentioned he was playing it or
could
something.
Could be.
This guy's got too much imagination.
Yes.
That programming languagey thing that is rumored to be with it, I don't know how much they've said that, but that sounds cool. Like,
it sounds cool what he's planning on doing. Yeah, I don't understand a fucking word of it.
Do you remember that Lego thing? You could put the Lego robots. You could build Lego robots with it just had a little pack and it just basically powered 4 motors.
But then
depending on what you did with those 4 motors, you could do a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Might be something like that.
Right.
Maybe, but I don't know. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves possibly. Because I don't think they've confirmed anything like that being possible.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the speculation that you'll be able to then, with the talk of, there's like one of the upcoming, one of the ones that's in the trailer for the Labo, but it isn't included in the first pack.
Right.
Is like a thing where you seem to have like some kind of switchboard thing on the screen and there's like the Joy-Con is in like a little cardboard dock.
Right.
There'll be like YouTube videos of marriage proposals happening because someone's made it on the Switch.
They'll be insufferable.
And that's when I throw my Switch out the window.
No, I mean, we grew up without Switches. We literally played with cardboard when we were kids. Like, we have imagination. We also like playing video games.
Yeah.
And we don't have to necessarily mix cardboard and video games.
But if you're a kid today...
Yeah.
I think the idea of trying to find a way to make tactile construction appealing to kids.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because maybe kids aren't interested in it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I don't know.
You got to get it. Maybe we'll end up living in like a Dragon Quest Builders world where, because everything's been digital for so long, everyone forgets how to build.
Yeah.
And this is staving off that apocalypse.
Yes. And us three, like renowned handymen, will become kings.
Yeah.
I can't even build a fucking sentence, let alone a goal or whatever.
It is getting late.
Yes.
I got a couple of emails here.
Yeah, let's do it.
That number, 2.
Okay.
Well, that's the definition of couple.
Yeah.
This first one is from Ethan. Hey gang, what are your thoughts on couch co-op games and what are your favourites? It's my favourite genre as a casual gamer. Gang Beasts just got its full release on consoles as well, and I have to say I had a bunch of mates over and had a grand old time.
Yeah.
P.S. Ben is my favourite. Oh. I feel he doesn't get enough love. Thanks, Ethan. Well, Ethan,
how little you know that the accuracy of that statement, Ethan. That is very nice of you. Thank you, Ethan.
I disagree with some of your email, Ethan. But yeah, couch co-op games. I feel like we do all like them, but don't play as many of them as I would like to.
Yeah. I've gotten older, I don't think it's been as much of a thing.
Yeah, I
played a few really fun ones in the last year that I've mentioned on the show. Death Squared, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time, Overcooked.
Right.
There's a lot of great ones out there at the moment.
Yeah. Gang Beasts looks good. I haven't played Gang Beasts, but it does look fun.
What is Gang Beasts?
It's like you're a bunch of beasts, but like sort of people
in
blobs.
In like some kind of group?
You're like a people, bunch of people blobs, and you're basically wrestling. You're in these,
I know this game, yeah. But they're kind of, it's like they've got no bones, so their movement's all fucked up.
You kind of have to grab people and lift them over your head and throw them out of the ring, basically.
But
these sort of wacky environments.
And, you're all floppy and droopy. Yeah. And
Like quap-ish.
Okay.
But not quite that bad. And when people know what they're doing with it, they seem to really know what they're doing.
You're really floppy.
Yeah.
Almost like you don't know how to control your own body.
I dropped my phone as I was saying that.
Dropped his phone onto his head.
I was getting really into character.
Nothing's worse when you're like lying in bed looking at your phone, holding it above you and dropping it on your own stupid face.
In terms of couch co-op, I'm looking forward to the Master Chief Collection getting fixed, they're apparently doing, and Halo 6 possibly having co-op back in it.
Right. Isn't the this A Way Out game a couch co-op game?
Yes, that looks fucking sick too.
Yes. Yeah.
You can
do
that online as well.
Yes.
And with only one of you owning a copy of the game.
Oh, that's cool.
That's right.
Which really cool.
It's very good.
Huge.
Yeah, so that could be a really good one. We should definitely get into that for the pod.
Yeah, and definitely like the indie space is doing a lot of couch co-op stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Stuff,
but we've said this heaps. We never play games together.
Yeah.
That night where we played Death Squared at mine, that was really fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Should do that again. Yeah. Like,
This last email comes in from Sanaya Jane. Hi. Hope you are doing well.
Shania Twain.
It was only a matter of time until someone did it.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah. That's why I'm one guy's favorite.
So Shania says...
Oh, wait, Nox, that email's coming through again. Da, da, na, 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 na. That's your ringtone.
Let me read the email. Hi, I met Brad Pitt the other day, and I gotta say, underwhelmed. Hi, hope you're doing well. We are a web design and development company specialized in UI/UX. We promise to provide ultimate solutions for web, mobile design and development needs for your business. We are specialized in following services: logo and brand design, website design and development, mobile app design and development. We proudly express ourselves as a one-stop solution for your complete design and development needs. We would be very much interested in discussing further to offer you the best possible solutions as per your need at this stage. Look forward to working with you. Definitely. Regards, Sanaya, Business Development Manager.
That sounds legit. Can I get a look at that? P.S.
Yeah.
Ben is our favorite. It's a robot. It's clearly a robot.
My favorite, Mario Kart 8.
12 inches for me.
I read that in the email thing, obviously, and for a while I was like, finally some recognition. I thought we were getting a real bit, but yeah, we got some spam. So
that's
it.
Yeah.
Well, next week, this coming week in between now and the next time we record, there's a bunch of stuff coming out that I personally, well, two things that I'm personally excited about. Tomorrow, after this comes out, Dragon Quest Builders out on the Switch,
which
I've been looking forward to. I played the demo and liked it a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Owlboy is out on the Switch
on
Tuesday, which has been out on other things for a while, but people have a lot of good things to say about it. So those are the two things that I'm looking forward to sinking my teeth into over the next week.
Nice.
There's a game, Kingdom Come Deliverance, that I don't know if I'm going to have time to play before we record next, but that is interesting to me and I think might be terrible.
Okay.
It's like a medieval peasant simulator.
Fuck yeah.
Basically.
Okay, cool.
But it looks like it might be a little low budget, kind of janky.
Right.
But hey, maybe I literally have no idea if it'll be good or not.
Yeah,
so I'm interested
in
trying that.
Yeah. Well, there's literally nothing else to play. so let's play.
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of another episode of Filthy Casuals. Filthycasuals.com.au if you would like to find us on all the social medias or send us a message about what you're playing, any comments about stuff that you'd like us to hear, maybe we'll read you out. We have a Patreon that you can subscribe to if you would like to support the show. We send out some bonus stuff every month.
We just did Abe's Odyssey. It's a bonus review of that. And yeah, we have a Patreon group for people pledging $5 or more a month, which is very, very fun.
Yeah.
It's an awesome place to chat about games.
Yeah, it's a great group in there. And all three of us are doing in shows at the – well, we're all doing shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Yes. Knox and I are both doing stand-up shows individually. And then Ben and Adam are in the sketch group Chimp Cop.
Yes.
Again, all those details on our website.
No, but they're on our socials.
Okay, on the socials. Get around look at us. All that.
They'll be on our website at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a website. Chimpcop.com, we have a website. Oh, yeah. So you can go to that for our show, yeah.
Guys, thanks for listening. And
I just feel like we maybe need some UI/UX web designers to come in for that website.
We certainly need to add a microphone to the nav. So we should get in touch with them.
Thanks for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Doggy style. It's that zombie from before who was doing all the 69s. He's back.
Disturbing.
And he's hornier than ever.
Racist impression of an old Japanese man.
It wasn't.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.